Good morning. Welcome, everybody. Thank you all for coming, and welcome to all those on Zoom as well. The Shia today and through this academic year is sponsored Le'ilu Nishmos, Brana Bas Bendit and Zeli Ben Kalman. We thank the sponsor for their sponsorship very much. Now, last week we finished off a series on calendar issues and conundrums, and as I mentioned, we are going to have a look at three topics leading up to Tisha B'Av, dealing with Churban issues. But I'd like to look at new stuff that we never dealt with before. And this particular shiur is a fascinating topic, which was really spurred by a lot of the visits that my wife and I did in Italy just now. We were just in Italy for a few weeks, and we went to see all sorts of very beautiful shuls, synagogues, Bati Medrash, in places where there are just no more Jews. Some of these shuls are nearly 300 years old. Many of them have been restored. We went to the shul in Siena, which is absolutely gorgeous, not as much on the tourist track as some of the others. But there are only 50 Jews left in Siena, and they don't have a minyan, even on Shabbos. They do something on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Well, what happens to these shuls, halachically? What can we do? We all know also, I'm sure we're all from communities where shuls dwindled, where people moved to other parts of town. What do you do with the old shul, which is now in a part of town that the Jews don't live in anymore? Forget about the churban of shuls that were destroyed in the Holocaust, etc. On Kristallnacht alone, 250 shuls were destroyed. I don't know how many thousands and thousands of shuls were destroyed across Europe in the Holocaust. Often the churban is not one of destruction explicitly, but of assimilation. People are no longer enough Jews in the town to support a synagogue. What do we do and how do we do it? And surprisingly, this is a very complicated topic. It took me a long time to try and get my head around it. As I say, we've never dealt with it before. I'd like to try and put it into some kind of meaningful order so that we understand how it works and how in practice these things happen. Who sells the shul? Who decides? What do they use the money for? Etc. Fine, so let's have a look. I hope everyone's got the sheet. Let's start from the very beginning. Next week and the week after, I would like to look at a different topic, which are the halachic areas of Zechel L'Churban and Zechel L'Mikdash. Two different halachic categories that Chazal set up, which are relevant, as I say, to this time of year. But for now, we'll look at the shul and the synagogue. Okay, fine. Obviously, the word shul, it comes from across between the Bet Knesset and a Bet Midrash. Shul means a shula, like a school. So a Bet Knesset, which is a Bet Midrash, is called the shul. Nobody knows where the word daven comes from. It's a mystery. People have their suggestions, da'avuhon from the fathers, etc., but that's a bit far-fetched. The word far-fetched also sounds like a Yiddish word, but it's not. It's just far-fetched. No one knows where the word daven comes from. Any answers on a postcard if anyone has any thoughts. But
divine, maybe.
Could be. There are lots of Jews living in France. Maybe cholent comes from the French word chaud and long, which is slow and hot. That could be as well. Maybe it's something completely different. Who knows? Now, number one. There are, by the way, a few spelling typos on the sheet. I actually corrected it, and I've got the corrected one in front of me. On one particular footnote, you get a prize if you spot it. I showed you how limited my multitasking skills are when I, by accident, pasted in part of an email that I was sending to someone else into the footnote of the sheet. Luckily, it was nothing embarrassing or confidential, but I've corrected it, and the one that goes online will be correct. Okay, have a look in number one. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. Famous pasuk. There is a mitzvah to make a mikdash so that Hashem's Shechina can dwell in the mikdash. The chiddush here from the Orach Chaim in number two is that mitzvah applies, according to him, across the board in all times. V'nira, says the Orach Chaim HaChadosh, number two. Ki omra v'asu l'migdash, when it says v'asu l'migdash, make me a migdash, he mitzvat ase kolelet kol hazmanim. That applies at all times. Bein b'midbar, both immediately in the desert when they made the Mishkan, bein b'knisasan la'aretz, when they came into Israel, b'chol zman shiyu Yisrael sham ledorot, and for all future generations in Israel, the first temple, the second temple, utzrichin ha'Yisrael asad ken afilu b'galuyot. And they even have to do this in the Galut. Therefore, according to the Orach Chaim, making a shul, and maybe also a Bet Midrash, but certainly a shul is a mitzvah of v'asu l'migdash. And one of the questions that we're going to have to raise is, okay, so does a shul have the same kedusha as the Bet HaMikdash? In which case, what can we do? Can we ever knock it down? Can we ever strip it out? How does that work? And therefore, that question we will deal with. As you know, the shul is called a mikdash in Yechezkel, but a mikdash ma'at. I just want to look at the psukim quickly. These are beautiful psukim of churban and of rebuilding. Look in number 3. We don't often get a chance to learn Yechezkel together, so now let's make the most of it. Vayhike hinabi. There was, he says, I was prophesying. Upalatiyahu ben Banaya mates, and this person who was leading the Jews, I prophesied that he died. The epo apanai, and I fell on my face as he said, the Ezak kol gadol, the Omar, and he said, aha, Hashem Elokim, what's going to be? Kala ata oise, you're completely destroying everything at She'evish Yisrael, even those who remain from the Galut. Remember, the Galut happened in stages. Not all the people at once, but they were in stages taken away. Now, vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemor, and this is what God said to me. Ben Adam, achecha, your brothers, don't worry, your brothers, anshei geulatecha, the people of your of the geula, you'll see what's going to be with that. The chol beit Yisrael kula and all of the Jewish people asher amru lahem yoshvei Yerushalayim, and the people left in Israel have already said about these people rachaku me'al Hashem. These people are lost. The diaspora is finished. Lanu hi nitna ha'aretz lemorasha. Israel really belongs to us now, which is very interesting because Yechezkel is bemoaning not just the fact that the Jews are in diaspora, but the Jews who are in Eretz Israel have lost hope for the Jews in diaspora. What can you do? They're gone. They're finished. They'll just assimilate. Which is interesting, because that parallels with attitudes today as well. Lachein omakon Hashem Elokim. Therefore, this is what I want you to say, says God to Yechezkel. Ki hirchaktim bagoyim, I have indeed distanced them to the non-Jews. V'ki hafitzosim, and I have scattered them ba'aratzot in all the lands. V'ayyeh lahem l'mikdash ba'at. But I will be for them a mikdash ma'at. Don't worry, don't give up on those people. I will be their mikdash, says God, ba'asot Hashem ba'usham, in all the lands that they're in the diaspora. Ulchein, therefore, emo ka'ama Hashem Elokim, v'kibatzti etchem min ha'amim, I'll gather them all in, v'asafti etchem me'aratzot, asher defotzem, bahem, and I will take all the diaspora and put it together in Israel, v'natati lechem et admat Yisrael, uva'u shama, and then there's the renewal, and they will come, v'hasiro, v'hisiro et kol shikutzeha, they will get rid of all of their disgusting things, all their avodah zorah, etc., v'al kol tovoteha, mimena, v'natati lechem lev echad, v'ruach hadasha, etim v'kibachem, a new spirit, a new understanding, v'hasiro, yisir lev ha'evin mibisaram, v'natati lechem lev basar, a new fresh heart to start over, l'man v'chukasai yelechu, v'et mishpotai yishmaru, v'asu osam, and they will do all the mitzvahs in Israel. Okay. A beautiful prophecy, because it talks not just about Israel, but about how we're going to deal with the Jews in the diaspora, how they're going to cope.
Because
it's called a mikdash mat.
It's called himself.
Yes, good. So on a pshat level, God is not talking about the shuls. God is saying, I'll be there for them. I will protect them. My shechina will be with each individual Jew as they're living in Chutz La'aretz. Already we'll see the Gemara, and Rashi says immediately, Mikdash Ma'at means a shul on a drash level. Says number 4 Rashi, what's he talking about Mikdash Ma'at? Lebate Kanishka. These are the shuls, the Inu Yasvin, that they are going to build there, they're going to go to. Tinyan HaBeis HaMikdash, in place of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, the shul replaces the Beis HaMikdash. The Mitzudas David said more that the Shechina will be there. The Shechina will be in the shuls. Number 5. Hoyel v'ayrim shalo yashkiach behem. Since the people are worried in the diaspora, I won't be looking after them. Me'ata amah, therefore you must say to them, Ko amar Hashem, imki hirchitim, even though I've distanced you, mi'mikdashi, from my mikdash in Israel, u'me'atzam li'yod golim, and you're in the galut. The im ki prazatim, even though I've scattered you ba'aretz ha'amim, aval hine mash mehashkachati lo rachaku. You're not far away from hashkacha. Don't worry. Ki ba'aretzot asher ba'ushama eye lehem lemikdash mat. I'm going to be a mikdash mat. What does that mean? A mikdash mat, says Mitzuda, ashra shchinati bebatei haknesiot. It's not so much that the Jews will be in the Beit Knesset, but the Shechina will be in the Beit Knesset Shalahem, the Inki Rachel, and even though they're distant, they'll come back, etc., etc. And the Gemara, which all of these sources are picking up on in number 6, is Ve'yelehem Mikdash Ma'at, Amor Rabbi Yitzchak, Gemara in Megillah. We'll see a lot of Gemaras from Megillah today. All the Gemaras at the end of Megillah deal with the Beit Knesset and the Beit Midrash. Elu Beit Knesset, or Beit Midrash Sheba Bavel. Bavel here means the Galut. Okay? It means also Hendon, Johannesburg, Teaneck, etc. Now, we have to answer the question, okay, so how much is the shul really like the Beit HaMikdash? Because that's going to make a difference to what I do with it, in it, and when I'm finished with it. So in some respects, the Bet Knesset is very like the Bet Mikdash, in other respects not. Let's look at a couple of comparisons. Look at number 7. Let's compare the similarities. Says the Rambam, mitzvah number 65. Now remember, the Rambam doesn't just give you the Mishneh Torah. He lists three times before, four maybe if you include his general introduction, how the mitzvahs work. He has an introduction to the Mishneh Torah. Then he has a Sefer HaMitzvot, where he goes through each mitzvah. Then he has a Minyan HaMitzvot, where he just lists the 613 without a lot of discussion. And then for each section, he has an introduction to that section. So the Rambam is actually multi-layered. It's not just the text of the Mishneh Torah. So this is from the Minyan HaMitzvot, where he lists them, number 7. Let's see his wording. Shelo la'abed bet hamikdash. You're not allowed to destroy the bet hamikdash. Or batei kneset or the batei midrashot. Or any shul. Or any bet midrash. Shnei Maz, it says, abei ta'abedun. You have to destroy the Avodah Zarah. And loita sukein la'ashem elokeichem. But not the house of Hashem. Okay, sounds like on a d'oraita level that the Bet Knesset and the Bet Mikdash have the same Kedusha. You may not destroy them, neither one nor the other. And we'll see many of them are forced. We'll see Rav Soloveitchik thinks that the Rambam holds that the Shul has the same Kedusha d'oraita or a Kedusha d'oraita like the Bet Knesset, the Bet Mikdash has a Kedusha d'oraita. Look at number 8 in the Urim, that's Rabbi Eliezer of Metz. Kashem sha'asa lehanois min ha'hekdesh, just like you can't get any personal benefit from Hekdesh. Hekdesh is an item which has been dedicated to the Bet Mikdash, or built into the Bet Mikdash. Kach asu lehanu bibati knesios or bati midrashos. You can't just get personal benefit from a shul or a beis medrash. Shenit yachdu litzvila or ledrasha, as if they've been set aside as a shul for davening or a bet midrash for learning. Shegam ze Hekdesh. It's also Hekdesh. Can you walk into a shul for a sightseeing purpose? Can you walk in and say, oh, I'll take some pictures. This is nice. I'll walk in, I'll sit here. Oh, it's cool. It's a hot day outside. You can't do that. If you go to a shul, you have to daven there. You have to daven, say some Tehillim. You have to learn a little bit of Torah. To daven Mincha. There were no minyanim in most of the places that we were when we were in Italy. So my wife and I davened Mincha b'yichidus in a bunch of different shuls. It was nice. It felt nice, actually, to do that. But you should do that. You shouldn't just go in there on a rainy day or on a sunny day. Like the Bet HaMikdash, there's a level of Kedusha. On the other hand, there are significant differences. Look in number 9. The Gemara says, famous comment, Amar Rabasi, Batei Knesios Shebabel Al Tanai Heim Asuyim. Shul's not like a Beis HaMikdash. The shuls in Babel were built al tanai, on condition. The afal pikein, nevertheless, even though there's a condition, we'll see what the condition is, ain't no gimme bakalas rush. You can't behave bakalas rush. You can't behave in a stupid city way, in a light-headed way. You can't have a party in the shul. But since they're built al tanai on condition, you can do other things. You could have a shul supper in the shul. You could have a dinner in the shul. You can use it for a town meeting or whatever. Can you have a disco in the shul? I say that, but it's not such a crazy question. People want to have a youth event. You can have a youth event for the shul to get people together. You can have what can you do? What are the lines? This al tanai may or may not be the origin of the Altnoi shul in Prague. Because Altnoi means old new. It could be the new old shul or the old new shul, but it could also be the Altanai shul that it was built Altanai. The legend there goes that the Malachim brought the stones from Yerushalayim and it'll take them back again from Prague to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that kind of idea. Maybe that's what Altanai means. By the way, Tosfos in number 10 says, if you look carefully, it says Babavel. In Babel, in London, they're built Altanai, but not in Israel. Number 10, the Dafka la Oisan Sheba Bavel Mahani Atanai. The Tanai only works in Bavel. Shaharila 8 Bag, because in good time, Bagoil Bimheir Vyamenu, the Mashiach is going to come. Tipakaku Dushatam, and then all the shuls in Chutzalaretz will be no shuls anymore. They'll all come to Israel. We'll see it right at the very end. Avala Oisan Sheba Eretz Yisrael, but a shul in Yerushalayim, a shul in Bet Shemesh, a shul in Tel Aviv, Loi Mahani Tanai, that doesn't work. Shahari Krishadan la Oilan Kayemit, because they're there forever. They're never going to get taken down. So I'm not getting into the halachic details as what can you and therefore can't you do in a shul in Israel. Yes?
Does that take into a social hall under the same roof as a shul?
No. A social hall which is not, people don't daven in, is a social hall. Whereas a shul, often people have multi-purpose shuls. They have a shul and then they take away the benches and then they have a... That's what it's really talking about. Yes?
If it took what's said literally, it would destroy the Israeli tourist industry. how many shuls you go into to look at.
Okay, good. So take some tehillim with you. They should have a sign up in the shul saying, if you want to come in our shul, you're welcome. Consider saying a tehillim. Here's a little pamphlet as to one you can say. That'd be nice. People should do that. Why not? In English, what difference does it make? It doesn't have to be in Hebrew, etc. The Gemara says, for example, shuls and Bate Knesset, Bet HaMikdash and Bet Knesset is not all the same. Some respects it's the same as not. Look at the Gemara in Brachos, number 11. Amar Rava, Rekika, can you spit in the shul? Now you'll see, why am I spitting in the shul? Okay, it's not during Aleinu, it's something else. Okay, but Bet Knesset Shari, it's okay in the shul. Midirahavi Amanal, just like wearing shoes. What does he mean, just like wearing shoes? Mamanal, if you're talking about shoes, Baharabais, Osa, Babesa, Knesset, Mutter, you have to take your shoes off when you walk into the temple. But you can wear your shoes in shul. Afrikika, so too spitting, Baharabais, Huda Osa, Babesa, Knesset, Shari. On the Temple Mount, spitting is Osa, that's a Mishnah, he says you're not allowed to spit. This is a Mishnah that the Gemara is coming up, you can't spit on the Temple Mount. But in a shul, you can spit, just like you can wear shoes in the shul. Ah, Amalei Rav Papa, the rabbi, so Rav Papa challenges and says, 1 second. Ah, Adi Yalit Menel, rather than comparing to shoes, Nailit Mikapandaria, what's a Kapandaria? Shortcut. I can't take a shortcut through a Bet Mikdash. I can't take a shortcut through a shul either. If I can just nip into the shul and come out of the other side and avoid a traffic jam, I can't do that. So why don't you compare that? Ella, I'm a Rava, so Rava says, I'll tell you why. Ki Beiso, a shul is like your house, but just bigger. But not like the Bet HaMikdash. Mao Beisu, just like in your house, a Kapandaria, Kapit Inish, you mind if people take a shortcut through your house? All of a sudden you see someone walking through your house and out of the back door. By the way, in Harnof, where we used to live, this was a big question. People don't take a shortcut through your house, but take a shortcut through your building. You come in on Rechav Kablan, and you need to get down to Rechav 1000. So people nip in, and they run down, and they run up, etc. It's actually not allowed, because the neighbors are particular about it. Forget about using the lift. Using the elevator is just stealing the electricity. But even using the stairwells, people brush against them, people dirty them, people don't. And sometimes it says, please don't use my building as a shortcut. But people mind the house being used as a shortcut. The Arikika Umanel, but people don't mind if you wear shoes. We're not talking about Japanese people here, okay? Or if you spit. People don't mind if you spit in the house. Lock Kapidinish, nobody minds about that. Afbesa Knesses Kapandari Hudasa, so too a shul you can't use as a shortcut. Rikika, but spitting, Manal or shoes, is fine. Now, I'm not getting into the whole spitting thing in detail. I suspect, I can't prove it, that there are two reasons why spitting for us is a very different kind of concept. Number one, because most of the buildings in those days had dirt floors. They weren't carpeted and tiled. They were just dirt floors, you know, whatever. It's a dirt floor is a dirt floor. Also, I suspect that before antibiotics, most people had chronic chest infections most of the time and therefore had to constantly expectorate. You talk about all this, you know, in the spittoons. You know, as far as I'm aware, even in Arizona, they don't have spittoons in the bars of pubs anymore. Because people used to need to spit a lot, but Baruch Hashem, not anymore. Fine. So I don't suspect you spit in the shul or in anybody's house. I don't suggest you do that unless you check with them that they're okay with that. Rav Soloveitchik explains what's going on here. And this is where we're going to get into when we're talking about the Kedusha. He says the Kedusha of a shul and the Kedusha of the temple are fundamentally different. They're similar but different. Look at number 12. It says Rav Soloveitchik. I want to explain to you, page 3 at the top, Shebein Beis HaMikdash Lebein Beis HaKnesses. What is the difference? Nearly, he says, it seems to me, Shebein Beis HaMikdash HaChiv Hu Midin Yira. That's a pasuk, Yira, awe. You're in awe of the Beis HaMikdash. Kedikseh, as it says, U'Mikdashi Tirau. You have to have Yira for the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'ilu Bebet Knesset HaChiv Hu Midin Kavod. It's a din in Yira, din in Kavod. For the Beit HaMikdash, it's Yira. For the Beit HaKnesset, it's Kavod. But Lo Midin Yira, not Yira. U'mikevish Achiv Beit HaKnesset, he rak Chiyav HaKavod. Since in a shul, it's just an issue of honoring the shul, respecting the shul, not in awe of the shul. V'shira Kavod, hu kebeso. Kavod is like you'd respect somebody's own property. It's that kind of shir. U'lechein mutali kanes lebeit HaKnesset b'manalo k'mo bebeso. That's why you can wear shoes in a shul. Because it's not a din of Yira. On the contrary, mehar habayis, compared with the har habayis, asaloylin omanalim, you can't wear shoes. Mishum chovat yira, yira tamakom. It's awe. Take off your shoes. It's holy ground. Therefore, Adam anichnas lebeit hamikdash shehu beit Hashem nimtza lifnei Hashem. In a beit hamikdash, you are lifnei Hashem. Therefore, you have a din of yira. The ilu beit haKnesset, but the shul is not lifnei Hashem. She'einenu beit Hashem elo bayit gadol. Interesting, bayit gadol. It's a house of the Jewish people. It's just a big house. It's the house of the town of the Jewish people in the town. But it's not the beis Hashem. The beis hamikdash is the beis Hashem. The beis haKnesset is the house of the people. But you have to give it covered. Loi sheri lo b'shchina, shchina kemikdash. There isn't the same level of shchina as in the mikdash. Therefore, these halachas apply in different ways. So what is the kedusha of a beit Knesset? I brought you here in number 13 the Ram, because we're going to see that there is a comparison made between a shul, a sefer Torah. Other items as well. If you sell a Sefer Torah, we'll see when you can sell a Sefer Torah, it's what you sell remains a Sefer Torah. It doesn't become chulin. It doesn't become a non-Sefer Torah just because you sold it to someone else. But we'll see when you sell a shul, then it's no longer a shul. Why is that different? What happened? Why is one different to the other? That you can sell a shul and now you can use it for other things. We'll see when. But a Sefer Torah not. So just one a little bit more lomdus with Rav Soloveitchik as well. And then we'll get into the question, lamaisa, of how you sell the shul. Look at number 13. Says the Ram. Hiksha haRamban. The Ram asks on the Ramban. Now the Ram never knew the Ramban. But the Ram was the last, if you like, of the school of the Bet Midrash of the Ramban. He wasn't a direct student because he lived a little bit after and didn't learn from their students. But he goes Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, and then a little gap of a few decades, and then Ram. Okay? And the Ram, therefore, brings a lot from the Ramban. The Rabbeinu Nissim of Girona. Kevan de Shmaisin Muchad Betakneset Yeshlo Kedusha. Since it's clear, says the Ramban, that there is a Kedusha in a shul, a some kind of Kedusha, but mighty paka Kedusha is there. How do you just get rid of it? How does it just disappear? What did you do? If you sell a Sefer Torah, it doesn't disappear. How come if you sell a shul, it does? Hey, chininka, how could you ever sell a shul? The hadava sheroi legufo mikdusha sav, einu nifta. Einu nifta. You can't just take an intrinsically Kodesh thing and redeem it. And suddenly it's not Kodesh anymore. Like I said, you can't take a Sefer or a Sefer Torah and suddenly make it into something else. Now, Teret Salem, he says, the Ramban answers, and look here carefully. The Bebet HaKnesset Asa Osi Ketashmishe Mitzvah Kesuka Velulav. Says the Ramban, a shul has Kedusha as a Tashmish Shel Mitzvah. Now, this is an important distinction. There is a distinction in Halacha between Tashmishim Shel Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha. Kedusha is usually associated with God's name being written in it. A Sefer Torah, a Sefer, a mezuzah, the case of a mezuzah, etc. However, Tashmish Shel Mitzvah is an object which is not intrinsically Kodesh, but is used for a mitzvah. A sukkah is a sukkah, but after sukkahs, it's nothing. I can't just throw it on a scrap heap. I can't just take my lulav and throw it on the garbage. Not because it has Kedusha, but because it's just not respectful for something that you used as a mitzvah. But it has no intrinsic Kedusha anymore. Once you've stopped doing the mitzvah, it's finished. Okay, now it's nice to use things for other things. They used to use tzitzis as bookmarks. They used to do stuff, tzitzis worn out as bookmarks. People don't need so many bookmarks anymore. Don't even read books anymore. And anyway, you get bookmarks from Amazon when you get the books. It'd be funny if they send you tzitzis, wouldn't it? That's a new line. Instead of sending you bookmarks, we're sending you old tzitzis. Okay, fine. But there's no intrinsic Kedusha. Shenizrakin, you can throw them away. Respectfully, la'acha mitzvasan. End of the second line. Ubizman mitzvah yesh behem kedusha shot covered. Oh, there's Rav Soloveitchik. While you're doing the mitzvah of sukkah or lulav, there's a covered ha-mitzvah. Lefikach beta knesset, so a shul, calls man she b'nei ha'ir rotzim bo, all the time the people of the city want it to be a shul. No, again, but kedusha, then it has the kedusha of an object like a sukkah or lulav, afilu b'churbano, even if it gets knocked down or destroyed or falls apart. Shehari adain lo avar zman mitzvah. So if the people are still using it as a shul, so it's still a shul, or they still relate to it as a shul. Varui lachzor livnotah, they might rebuild it. Hilka kushanim karu zayin tuvi ha'ir, and we'll get to them in a minute. Beit tuvi ha'ir was called Beit Tuvi Ha'ir for a reason. We'll see the kedusha, the gemara is here. If the seven of the town council Shaloi b'mama d'anshe, do not get the permission of the people. We'll see how this works in a minute. Ein b'nei ha'ir roitzim min astam. That the people don't want the shul to be sold off. Shetchayish mitzvasan. They don't want it to end legamri. Ela shetachul kedushas basic nesis al adamim. And then the money from the shul still has the kedusha, because the people still relate to it as a mitzvah object that I'm still using. Avakashenim l'chu b'nei ha'ir. But once the people have decided, This shul is finished. Everybody's moved away. We don't need it. We don't want it, etc. Lamachra, and we want to sell it. Okay. Lishtot ba'afilu sheikhar. Even if we want to use the proceeds to buy beer. Where's that come from? We'll see that comes from the party. From the Gemara, rather. Let's say you want to have a big party. You're selling off a shul. We're going to blow it all on a celebration. In theory, that's okay. Shari, that's okay. Because the people have decided we don't want it as a shul. Lefisha avas ma mitzvasa. Because the mitzvah is finished like the sukkah after sukkahs. V'nifka kedushato. And the kedusha is all gone. Mimenu kesukkah v'lulav la'achazmana. So that's the Rambam. The Haran comes in and says v'ein dvar of berurim etzli. Okay, I don't like this. The fikach nirali, I think, says the Ran, the betak knesset ukvasei, and anything like the betak knesset, all the accoutrements of the shul, kevan sheikru asu loyma bo davashibikdosh. Since they were built for a holy object, a holy purpose, hitilu bo chachamim kedusha midivrayhem. They have a kedusha intrinsically, but on a rabbinic level. So let's just summarize, and this is the Rav Soloveitchik, which I'm not going to read inside in 14, but he summarizes this. He says, so we've got three approaches to a shul. The Rambam, Maimonides, Mamash, compared a shul to a Bet HaMikdash. He said in the mitzvah, you can't destroy a shul, just like you can't destroy the Bet HaMikdash. For the Rambam, says Rav Soloveitchik, there's a kedusha of a shul on a Torah level. Maybe different to the Bet HaMikdash, because it's covered, not Yira, but it's a Torah kedusha. For the Ran, there's a kedusha of a shul, a davasha b'kedusha, on a rabbinic level. And for the Ramban, there's no kedusha intrinsically in a shul at all. It's a mitzvah object, like a lulav and a sukkah and a tzitzis. And when you finished with it, and the people, through the necessary channels, we'll see what they are, have decided that they don't want it anymore, it's like a sukkah after sukkahs. And therefore it's finished. That's how it works. And you need to think about those three ways of looking at the kedusha of a shul and plug them in as we go through the rest of the shir and we talk about how you actually sell the shul and what happens in practice. Fine. Okay, good. There are basically three questions halachically as to how and when you can sell a shul. The first question is, am I allowed to get rid of this shul at all? Look in number 15. So Gemara in Bava Basra. Amar of Chizda. Lo listor inish beik nishta. You may not destroy a shul, and the Meforshim say, or sell it, or terminate your lease on it, or any of those things. You may not close down the shul. Ad debani beik nishta achriti. Until you build a new one first. You can't knock down the shul, say, it's fine, we're going to use the money, we're going to build a beautiful new shul. You can't do that. You're not allowed. Why not? Ika de Amri, because one view is, mishum pshuta, because you will never get round to it, and then the money will get spent on other things, and then you'll have no shul. The Ika de Amri, and the other view is, mishum tsilui, because we want you to have somewhere to pray. Okay, what's the difference between these two opinions? Ika beinahu de ika duchta litsilui. Let's say you have a house to daven in. So according to the opinion that we worried you won't have anywhere to go, so you have somewhere to go, that's okay. But according to the view that says, no, we worried that you won't have a shul anymore, it's still a problem. So not only do you have to have somewhere else you can daven, I could daven in a street minion, knock down the shul and daven in the street, you won't stop me davening, that's not good enough. You have to have a shul, you can't knock down a shul until you've rebuilt the shul first. Yes. I don't know. It's a good question. When does it have a din of a bet knesset? We'll see soon that an individual who has a shul saying, this is not just a shul, this is my shul, has much more autonomy over the shul. We'll see that. If it's a community, usually someone who has a minion in their basement, it's not that it's not the community's minion, it's the Goldberg's minion, and when Goldberg decides it's finished, it's finished. It's much more autonomous. We'll see that at the end of this year. We're talking about a communal shul. So if you look at the shul, yes, sir?
Are we talking about replacing the building or servicing people?
Both. Meaning, according to the view that you just need to have somewhere to daven so you can service the people elsewhere. But according to the first view, you have to have a shul. It's not good enough to have a gathering in the street or in a building or in a basement or in a social hall.
But you can build it in another city.
You could build it somewhere else, but you have to build it first and then destroy the last one. So look what the Shulchan Aruch says in number 16. The question for us is, usually, it's not that I want to knock down the shul. It's I want to close down shul X and Y because nobody lives down there anymore and I just want to keep shul Z. Can you do that? That's usually the question. So let's have a look now. Number 16. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you may not knock down a shul to build a new shul. Shemayer elahem oides. Maybe things will not go the way you expect. Shelo yivnu acher, and you'll never build the other shul. El boinim acher tchila. First, you build the replacement shul. The acher kach soishrin hayashen, and only then do you knock down the old shul. Adds the Ramah. But afilo lo ratzel isto rak mechitza echad laharchivu. Even if you want to do renovations in the shul, you can't just gut the shul and then restart all over again. You have to put the new part in place, and then you can knock down the old part, because we're worried you're going to gut the shul, and then the money's going to get spent on something else. Na midina hachi, that's also the halacha. Now, vahani mili shahaya rishon chazak, that's only if the shul is solid. Aval im charvo, but if the shul's falling apart, yisadaf, if the foundations are going, or nata koslev lipol, and the shul's actually mamash falling down, then of course, so shenoto miyad, you have to knock down the old shul, because it's dangerous. And you have to get in people that can build day and night, build it as quick as you can. Maybe the time will run away with you, and the shul will never get built. Okay? And then the Ramah adds in, you're not allowed to destroy anything in the shul unless you're replacing it, unless you're doing it to make it better. So the lemaisa, you know, there are all sorts of shilas that happen in shuls, and as long as they're putting in the new part with a clear plan as to how they're doing it before they knock down the old part, I mean, I'm not a posik and I'm not a rob of a shul, so it'd be interesting to ask rabbonim in shuls how they do renovations in shuls. But according to this, you have to first move the minyan somewhere else and rebuild the minyan there, and then you can start renovating, etc., but not just knock things down in the hope that you're going to build them back up again. Now, there's a major machlokus between the Taz and the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says this applies even if you have another shul. So the Jews all live in, let's take a London example. The Jews all now live in Golders Green and Hendon. And there's an old shul in the East End. You can replace for this whichever town you come from. You can talk about Teaneck and somewhere else, whatever. Can you just sell off the shul, knock down the shul in the East End? We have another shul. It's not that we're not going to have a shul. It's just that everybody's moved over here. The Magen Avraham says, you still can't. The only reason you can knock down a shul, says the Magen Avraham, is if there's literally nobody left to daven there. You just don't get a minyan there anymore. Okay, once you don't get a minyan there anymore, then what are you keeping a building for? That's fine. But as long as there's a minyan of people going to the shul, you can't knock down the shul ever. You have to have shuls in the world, even if you're saying we're all going to move over here. Says the Taz, no. The Taz says, once you have another shul somewhere else that everyone can move to, then that's fine. That's not a concern. You can knock down and sell off the other shul. And I brought you the Mishnah Berurah here. The Mishnah Berurah brings the Machlokas, the Magen Avraham, and the Taz in number 17. And in the Bir Halakha, he says, there's enough lenient opinions that rule like the Taz that you can rely on that. And that's what everybody relies on when they close down a shul in a part of town which is no longer popular. There's still a minion of old people there, whatever, davening. But they say, no, everyone's going to move now to this shul, and we're going to close down that shul. Yes?
When you said a minyan, Magen Avraham says a minyan davening, does he mean a Shabbos minyan, a Rosh Hashanah minyan, a daily minyan?
I don't know. That's a good question. Meaning, I don't know. I don't want to guess. I assume it doesn't mean that you just have a minyan once a year. On the other hand, if you can't get a minyan some days, but you have a minyan on Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, that sounds like you still have a minyan there. I don't know. I didn't see. But anyway, Lamaisa, it doesn't matter, because we paskin like the Taz that says that you can just decommission an old shul as long as everybody else can move to a shul that's big, as long as it's big enough. Mr. Brewer brings down, it has to be big enough. If you're going to squidge everybody into a new shul and it's not really big enough, then that doesn't count. Then you have to keep the old shul going until you can you build a new one. Okay, fine. So that's the answer to question one. Can I ever decommission, knock down, sell a shul? The answer is, says the Taz, yes, if you have another shul that people can go to that's big enough to take them. Fine. The second question is, let's say I do sell a shul. What can I use the money for? You know, I might not want to build another shul. We might not need another shul. The Jews of Siena, the left, sell their shul. They don't want to build another shul in Siena, because there's no Jews left in Siena. So what are they going to spend the money for? So look at number 9. This is a very famous Mishnah of Ma'alim Bekodesh, the Ein Moridin. It's good to learn this here. Look at number 19. B'nei Ha'ir, says the Mishnah in Megillah. B'nei Ha'ir Shemachru Rechova Shel Ir. If the townspeople sell off the square of the town. The square of the town is where people used to daven on a fast day, when they decreed fasts for rain if rain hadn't fallen. So if they want to sell the square, which has a lower level kedusha, people daven there sometimes. Lochim b'damav bet knesset. They can spend the money for a higher level. for a Bet Knesset. Bet Knesset, if they sell a shul, lochin teva, they can buy a teva. The Mephoroshim say a teva even means a, either means a bima or an Aron Kodesh. Okay? Teva. Interestingly, in Italy, a lot of the shuls in Italy were built by Christian architects. In the 17th, 18th century, mostly the 18th century, when the Jews were building these shuls, they didn't have Jewish architects. Jews were not allowed to be architects. Jews were allowed to be doctors or moneylenders. That was usually their choice, or rabbis. That was the choice that they had. So they brought in Christian architects to design the shuls, and therefore that's why some of these shuls, when you walk in the shul, it doesn't feel like a regular shul. You know, the bima's up at the front, the bima's up at the back, you know, it looks like a cathedral. You have a, you know, different, if you walk into the Rome, the main Bet Knesset in Rome, it doesn't feel like a shtiebel, put it that way. By the way, it's interesting, the Italian Jews, I'm sure you know this, if you've been to Italy, many of the Italian Jews are Sephardi Jews that came from other places, either Spain at the Gerushim or recently from Libya, etc. But then there's the old Roman Jews who still have the Roman Masorah from way back. They have a different Nusach, they're all very mixed together now. But interestingly, if you pick up the Siddur of the Roman Nusach, one of the aspects of that Nusach is they say all year round, Le'ela, Le'ela, Mikol Birchasa, which we say only during the Aseis Me'tshuva, and so do the Sfaradim, only say Rosh Hashanah time. They say Le'ela, Le'ela all year. Don't know whether they always feel like it's the Amim Narayim, or whether that's the minhag that they have. But Italy is a very interesting place. So you can buy a teva. Right, end of the first line. Teva, loke mitpachot. If you sell the bima, then you can buy the covers for the Sefer Torah, mitpachat. Means like a cloth for the Sefer Torah. Mitpachot lokim svarim. If you sell the cloth, you can buy svarim. Here it means books of Tanakh. Megillot of Tanakh. Svarim lokim Torah. And the highest one of all, if you sell books of Tanakh, you can buy a Sefer Torah. But if you sell a Sefer Torah, so what can you buy? By the way, can you buy something on the equal level? The first part of the mission is you have to go up. Look at the last part of the Mishnah. Aval imakru Torah lo laku svarim, svarim lo laku matpin mitpachot, mitpachot lo laku teva, teva lo laku beit kneset lo laku et arachov. You have to go up and you can't go down. Can you go sideways? I want to sell a teva and buy another teva. Now with a Sefer Torah you have no choice because you can't go up. And the minhag is people do sell Sifrei Torah to buy new Sifrei Torah, to fund new Sifrei Torah. But there are different opinions on whether you can go sideways. V'chein b'mos rehem. And so too with the leftover money. Let's say I sell a Bet Knesset to buy Sefer Torah. I have leftover money. It also has to go for a higher kedusha. I can't just use that leftover money for other things. So you see here that the proceeds of sale always have to go up in kedusha. By the way, where do we learn that from? Where do they get the idea that you always have to go up in Kedusha? So the Gemara in Menachah says you get it from, you remember the Parshas Korach, the 250 Bnei Reuven that offer incense on the pans. So what does God tell Elazar to do with the pans? Use the pans as a coating around the Mizbeach. Because you have to go up, Ma'alim B'Kodesh, the Loi Mo'i. They learn it from there. Okay, so it sounds like if I sell a shul, I have to buy something higher. Maybe I can buy another shul, but maybe I can't buy another shul. Maybe I have to buy a Sefer Torah with the shul. The proceeds remain Kodesh. We'll see soon that there is a way of avoiding that, which is the Sheva Tuvei Ha'ir. We'll talk about them in a minute. There is an emergency button, like a panic button. If you look at number 20, the Shulchan Aruch brings down in page 5, Moichrim Beis HaKnesses V'chein Shad Dvarim Shebekdusha, I can sell anything, afilu Sefer Torah, l'haspaka talmidim, to raise money for the koilel. If I have a group of people who are trying to learn Torah and they have just literally no money, I can give them a basic level parnasa, or lahasi yisomim b'damav, or to marry off orphans. And the Mephoroshim say orphans doesn't just mean male orphans, who you might argue have a bigger mitzvah, pururavu, but it means men and women, and any poor people who can't get married unless you fund them. So the kind of the panic button, the emergency provision is, okay, I can sell anything in order to fund Talmud Torah on a basic level. I'm not saying you can fund, yeshiva of thousands of bachrim, but a basic level kolel. I don't know what that means in practical terms, but you'd have to work that out. Or to fund the marriage of poor people. Yes?
I thought you could get it by a mikvah if the community community doesn't have a functioning mikveh, you can use the money from us.
That's interesting. You can sell a shul to buy a mikveh. A mikveh is the first thing the community has to build.
Right.
So we'll see. Lemaisa, I didn't see it brought down here. Lemaisa, what you'll be able to do with practice is sell a shul using the Shiva Tovi Ha'ir and buy whatever you want, including a mikveh. But I don't know where a mikveh comes exactly. Interesting. I'll check it out. But a mikveh is not one of the things that you can use for the emergency fund, if you like, if you sell a shul. Okay, you might have to use other money for that. You sell your business, you build a mikveh, the first thing you do. But selling a shul, a mikveh is not a higher level of kedusha than a shul. It's a necessity for the community. Okay, fine. Okay, what can I use the old building for? So, interestingly, the Mishnah comes along in number 21 and says as follows. Ein moichrin beis haknesses ele al tnai she'im yitzu yachziruhu. So the first opinion in the Mishnah is, Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir's opinion is, you can never sell a shul without a buyback option. I always have to be able to buy it back from the non-Jews I sold it to, or whoever I sold it to make it back into a shul. Chachamim Omrim, the rabbis say, no. Mokrim Osa Mimkar Olam, you can sell it, Chutz Me'arba Devarim, apart from for four uses. L'merachas, the shul can't be a bathhouse. L'bursiki, what's a bursiki? A tannery, which stinks. It's a horrible, you know, the Gemaras are full of descriptions of people who decide to become tanners. You're like, if a woman's married to a man, and when she got married to him, he was, I don't know, an accountant, or a schlepper, or whatever, and he said, I want to be a bursiki, she can say, that's it, I can't live with you anymore, because the way they used to tan the hides, they used to use the animal waste and all sorts of things, so you can't use a shul for that. Uletzfila, you can't use a shul for a mikveh. Ulebe samayim, and you can't use the shul for a bathroom. That you can't do. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Moichrin Osa L'Shem Chatzah, you can kind of get around it, you can sell it to the non-Jew as a general courtyard. V'halokeich mashi yirtze, yes, and they can do whatever they want after that, as long as you didn't sell it for that. Now, we paskel the Chachamim, which is, you can sell a shul, where you can sell a shul, we talked about before, if you have another one, etc., but not for these four uses. So we're going to see right now, the one thing that you can bring into play which solves all of these problems. What are our problems? Number one, if I sell a shul, what can I use the money for? Only something higher in Kedusha, which is very restrictive. Bless you. Number two, if I sell a shul, what can I use the old building for? So we'll see right now, the Sheva Tuvi Ha'ir solve all our problems. Who are the Sheva Tuvi Ha'ir? We've never talked about these things before, and obviously when they made the institution, Beit Tuvi Ha'ir, they named it, the people, the Tuvi Ha'ir, means that these are the Chashuvim, these are the important people of the town. Have a look in number 22, and we'll have a look at some interesting sources here. Amar Rava, Loi Shanu, all of this that we've said about selling shuls, Loi Shanu Ela Shaloi Machru Shiva Tuvi Ha'ir B'mamad Anshei Ha'ir. What's going on? If, says the Gemara, you have the Shiva Tuvi Ha'ir, we'll define them in a minute, and they sell it B'mamad Anshei Ha'ir, what's B'mamad? Mamad is like an established, in publicly, in front of the people, meaning they have a proper, transparent, public discussion about it, then all of these things we've said before is only if you don't do that. Aval Machru Shiva Tuvi Ha'ir, B'mamad Anshei Ha'ir, but if the Sheva Tuvi Ha'ir, with the Mamad Anshei Ha'ir, and it's a bit of a mouthful, and I abbreviated on the sheet after this, 7th plus M-A-I, if you're reading the sheet thinking, what's 7th plus my mean? It means the Sheva Tuvi Ha'ir, together with the Mamad Anshei Ha'ir. Once you do that, second line of 22, Afilu Lemishte Beis Shichra Shapidani. That's where the beer comes in. You can even sell it to drink beer. Some of Forshim say means you can turn it into a pub, and you're going to use the building as a pub, or it means you can sell the proceeds and drink beer with the proceeds. Ravina Havalei Hahutila. Ravina had a broken down old building, which was a Beit Knishti, which is an old shul. He owned it. He came to Rav Ashi and he said, Amen. He said to him, Mahula Mizrei, I want to turn this into a field. I want to plant here. Can I do that? So Amen. He said to him, Yes. Zil Zibni Mishevet Tuvi Ha'ir, Ba'mamad Anshei Ha'ir. Make sure you go through the proper process, get the Shiva Tuvi Ha'ir in the town council with the people in the town to sell it. Bazara, and then you can plow it, you can do whatever you want. And Rashi is very clear here in 23 that the magic of the Shiva Tuvi Ha'ir, B'mamad Anshei Ha'ir, it releases the Kedusha of the proceeds, And it releases anything that you might be restricted to with the building. Once you go through this process, then you can use the building for anything you like. You can sell it to anyone for use, whatever they want. And you can use the proceeds for anything for communal use. And in practice, that's how you sell a shul. So the reality to this whole complicated sugya is, when can I sell a shul is, number one, if I have another shul that people can move into that's big enough. And number two, as long as I do it through the Sheva Tovi Ha'ir, B'mamad Anshei Ha'ir, which we'll define in practical terms in a minute. Have a look at 24. Shulchan Aruch. Ulechein, Yichonin Limakro, you can sell a shul, he says. Umikol Makom Hamaus Nisharim B'Kidushasam. But if you don't go through the channels, then the money remains Kodesh. You can only go up the chain. The Einam Rishayim Lahoridim B'Kidushasam. You can't go down in Kedusha. The Hainu Shimakro B'nei Ir. That's only if the people sold it. Shaloi Midas Paranasehim. The Paranas. A paranas, or the gabai. These are all other words for the Sheva Tovi Ha'ir. For hu adin, so too, says the Shulchan Aruch, im machru Sheva Tovi Ha'ir, shelo b'mamad Anshei'ir, if the Sheva Tovi Ha'ir sold it off, but without a public consultation. That's also the proceeds retain their Kedusha, and maybe the building too. Aval im hiskimu Sheva Tovi Ha'ir, ba'oise mecher, if the town council agree, v'hayu b'mamad Anshei'ir, and have a public, transparent consultation process, then Rishayim lohoitzi amaz lechomash. They can do whatever they like, sell to whatever they want, use the process for whatever they want. Because they're lomairi ele kashiyesh ben bedek neset acheret. But of course, that only applies if they have another shul. Avalin elahem rak bet knesset acha. But if they only have one shul, this is where we started at the beginning. Asur, then of course you can't sell it. Lamachro deha afilu lasashu, you can't knock it down at all. Asa achiv na acheret. Fine. So actually, it's rather straightforward. Who are these Sheva Tovi Ha'ir? The town council, the people appointed. They don't dafka have to be seven. Usually seven was a number that was representative, but the Mishnah Berurah brings down you could have three. They go by majority. The Mamad Anshei Ha'ir means a transparent public consultation process. It could be by letter, by mail, it could be... The people don't even have to say yes, they don't have to take a vote, as long as they've been informed. Please be informed that we, the town council, will be selling the shul down in the East End. Anyone who has any objections, please let us know. Da 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 da. As long as you go through that process, even if it's delegated to even to one person, as long as it's all transparent, public, etc., then that's how it works. So actually, in practice, selling off a shul is quite possible as long as you do it the right way. If you don't do it the right way, you'll end up with proceeds which can't be spent on anything but a higher level kedusha. And or a building that can't be used for certain things. So get it right, otherwise you'll do it wrong. Okay, fine. Two exceptional cases. Is a very public shul or a very private shul? And we'll see what they mean right now. Have a look at this interesting Gemara. Says the Gemara in Megillah number 26. Bet Knesset Lokhim Teva. We quote the Mishnah, if you sell a shul, you can buy a bima or an Aaron Kodesh. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeini, Amar Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan comes in as Yeronus in the story. Says the following: Loi shanu ela beta knesset shel kfarim. That's only if you sell a village shul. All of this that we've said so far applies to selling a local community shul. Aval bet knesset shel krachim. What's a krach? A big town, a shul of a big town. Kaven de ma'al ma'asule, since it's really for the whole world comes there. Loi matzum azavnele, you can never sell that. To have a lady rabbin, because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to everybody. And therefore, even the Sheva Tovi Ha'ir don't have jurisdiction to sell that shul. It's a shul that everybody comes to. How are we going to define that? So Tosfos brings two possible definitions. Tosfos says, maybe it's because everybody's contributed to paying for it. It's, I suppose, what you call in modern terms, crowdfunded. And therefore, even if you live in Toronto, you'll say, hey, you can't sell off that shul because we had a whole campaign and I gave money for that shul. I have a chelik in that shul. It doesn't belong to you, even if the shul happens to be in Alan Shvut. Okay, that's one option. Or, which is the way that the Rosh goes, which is the way we paskin, it's not so much who paid for it. It's do I rely on that shul being there when I come to town? Have a look at number 28. It says the Rosh, Aval shel krachim, if you have a shul that belongs to a big town, kevin de me'al ma'ka'asa, since people come from all over the world, ga'asulei, have yeluhu durabim, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to everybody. V'loi matzum azavnile, and you can't sell it, even with the Sheva Tovi, etc. Even if the locals built it, and it wasn't funded from outside the town, for the money that was cost to build it. Nevertheless, since people come from all over, the people made the shul for the whole world. Even if everybody who lives there agrees, and say, we're all going to sell the shul, look at what he says. Shema yesh echad besof haolam. Maybe there's one man or woman at the end of the world. That's thinking, oh, I'm going there in a couple of months. Oh, I'm going to daven at the great synagogue in Yerushalayim. I'm relying on it. They used to go in there. They've made it for him. So the question for us is, does this really apply at all? The Shulchan Aruch brings this halacha down, that if it's a bet Knesset shel krachim, you can never sell it, because it doesn't belong to you, even if you go through the channels. So I brought you in a footnote. Almost all poskim have decided that this doesn't really apply anymore. Why? Either because this really applied when they used to have trade fairs. And people used to go from afar for the trade fair. It used to last for months sometimes, a trade fair. And people relied, oh yes, I go there for 3-4 weeks. Or they used to have something like a Yarche Kala. The Yarche Kala is everybody used to come to a certain town and learn with a Rav in that town. Therefore, people were relying on the shuls in that town. You can't just close them down. Then everybody turns up and they say, where's the shul? Oh, I'm sorry, we sold it and we bought a Simcha Hall. Yeah, but what am I going to do? Well, I'm sorry, you know, we asked the people and they decided to sell. That's what it applies to. But shuls today are not like that. Even a shtiebel, you know, the shtiebel in Katamon. Everybody says, oh yes, when I go to Yerushalayim on holiday, I'm going to go back to the shtiebel. So people go in and out like a kind of takeaway minion. They go in for a morning and they're not going there relying. If the shtiebel's not there, they'll go somewhere else.
In Birmingham, the students keep the minion alive from the university because they don't really have a minion.
Okay.
So they cut down the size of the shul by about 90% and had to get rid of a whole load of stuff because out of term time there is no.
So you're raising an interesting question. The Sheva Tuvia Ha'ir, B'mamad Anshe Ha'ir. Who are the Anshe Ha'ir? Do the Anshe Ha'ir include the students who are there for 3 or 4 years? Meaning, if the people in Birmingham decide, okay, you know, we've had enough, we're all moving to Manchester. And then the students say, well, what about us? Can the students say, well, we are the Anshe Ha'ir and we didn't agree? Is it a majority, etc., etc.? Interesting. The truth is, the students don't necessarily need a shul. The students need a minion to daven in. But I don't know where the students count. By the way, this is a very political question. I remember when we were at Oxford, my wife and I were at Oxford, there was always this kind of what they used to call town and gown tension. You know, there's the people who live in Oxford, who have been there for decades, in some cases it felt like centuries, okay? And there's the people who come up who are, you know, young students who decide, well, we want this and we want that, but they're here today, gone tomorrow. And which are the people that get to make the decisions? And in Oxford, it was particularly fraught because the community had some very peculiar and particular menhagim that the students didn't always like. And that was a source of interesting tension and entertainment, but not good entertainment. Yes?
Nowadays, the people don't rely on that anymore. But there are certain places, like for example, Germany, or Frankfurt and Cologne, where there are constantly exhibitions.
Yes.
And people do rely on that the shoes are there.
Interesting.
To come to the exhibitions.
Right. Interesting. Also, the post can bring down that most shuls these days are very explicitly made, certainly in Israel, by a town council. So in Alon Shvut, let's say I live in Alon Shvut, which I do, a lot of people use the shul in Alon Shvut, but everybody knows it's the shul of Alon Shvut built by the local minhal of Alon Shvut for Alon Shvut. And therefore no one's going to turn around and say, yeah, but I live in Calgary, but I was, you know, I feel that Alon Shvut's my kind of place as well. I go there every year for the Yimei Yumata. Because everyone knows it was built by the VAB. So I don't know how that works like all over the place in Frankfurt, etc. There's less of, things were much more hefka back in those days. They didn't really have countries in some places. They didn't have borders. People wandered around much more. The Lamaisa is that most people hold, most poskim hold, that there is no such thing anymore of a Bet Knesset shel krach. Don't worry about it, and therefore you can sell your shul as long as you go through the proper procedure, etc. Yes?
As far as what the shul could be used for, you see some in New York, especially.
Yes.
Shuls become churches.
Yes. Once the Sheva Tuvi Ha'ir, B'mamad Anshe Ha'ir have sold it, Ois Kedushin. No Kedushin. I don't think there's a problem. I'm not sure. I'm not a poseg. But once the Sheva Tuvi Ha'ir have decided that the mitzvah's finished, then the mitzvah's finished. I don't know. You can't use a church for Jewish purposes. Rav Moshe Feinstein was very machmir. You can't even rent out a church hall, even a playground to play, you know, soccer on or whatever. But this is different. You're taking a building that used to be a shul that is now completely chulin lagamri, completely, completely not kodesh. And if somebody wants to sell it in chutz laretz, you don't have an obligation in chutz laretz to destroy avodah zarah in chutz laretz. You have an obligation in Eretz Yisrael. That's different, which is interesting. So, but I'm not a posek and I don't know, but I didn't come across anything that said that you can't sell it to a non-Jewish group just because they want to have a church there. Yes?
I'm sorry if this was covered already. What about selling it to another Jewish group?
Like, that's fine.
Like a chassidim.
Why would they have a problem selling to the chassidim?
Or the reform group.
The chassid, or reform group. Again, I don't... the Hasidim all have the other reform group. I don't think there's a problem. Again, please correct me if I'm wrong, but once you have the Shiva Tuvi Ha'ir, B'mamad Anshei Ha'ir, everything is chulin. The money is chulin. It has to be spent on the community. You can't spend it on a personal, you know, gift for your Uncle Harry. Of course not. It belongs to the community. But the money is chulin. The building is chulin. You can do whatever you like. You can even sell it for a bathhouse. That, it's explicit. Even those four things, that you can't sell a shul and turn it into a bathroom. Once the Shiva Tuvi Ha'ir have said, you know, what they need to say, then you can turn it into a bathroom. If you can turn it into a bathroom, then why can't you turn it into any of these other things?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't ask it properly.
I mean,
can't you just say the Jews will go to the new shul? Like all of these litvaks, they can go to the
there's another shul, but it's not your people. There's a chassidish shul. Okay, that's a good question. I don't know. It depends on what you call the community. Meaning, we can sell our shul, but the price of selling our shul is we all have to become chassidim.
Well, somebody, you feel that the people who are staying here, they just have to...
A fate worse than death.
They just have to keep... You know, it's not my problem if they don't want to keep going to the shul.
Look, as long as there is a shul in the community, big enough that all the people who want to daven there can daven in a shul... I don't think that there's a hakpada in the halacha, whether it's, well, it's a shul, but it's not a litvish shul. Or it's a litvish shul, but it's Vilna rather than Riga. You know, how far are you, it's Bel's not Gur, how far are you going to go? It's a shul. What's that? No, a reform shul is not got a din of a bet knesset. You can't say, well, we'll shut the shul because you can always go to the reform shul. Yeah, reform shul is a different thing. That's not got a din halachically of a bet knesset. So, let's look at the last thing quickly. The other option, which may be more flexibility to sell, is a private shul. Sometimes a Rebbe has a shul, or a Gvir has a shul. This is the Goldberg shul. This is the Wolfson shul. This is the Rebbe shul. So have a look at number 30. Amar Rav Ashi. Hi, Beit Knishta de Masa Mechesia. This Beit Knesset de Masa Mechesia. Afa Gav de Me'alma Asula. Even though people do come from all over the world, you're going to argue it's one of these public Rabbim shuls. Kevin de Adati Didika. So since I'm the Balabos there, everything they do there is my decision. Iba'ina, if I want, Mezavnila, I can sell it. Meaning, I am in control. This is my shul. And of course, sometimes they call it your shul. I remember, you know, in London, there's Rab Chunas, and there's Diane Erentroy's, and etc. I don't know whether that means that it's their shul, or whether, I mean, maybe yeah, depending on who you ask. Right, exactly. So you have to know. But once someone has a bialis over it, look at number 31. Very interesting. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Masa b'beit ha-knesset shel tursiim. The Rashi says these are the coppersmiths. They had a guild shul. Like the coppersmiths built a shul. Shehaya b'Yerushalayim, which was in Yerushalayim. Shemachru the Rebbe Eliezer, and they just sold it. They sold it to Rebbe Eliezer. How could they sell a shul? The Aser b'Kotz b'Aserachav, and he did whatever he looked like there. Ah, v'hasam d'krachim hava. Wasn't this a shul which was for the rabbim? The answer is no. Ha'hi b'knishta zutze hava. It was a private, small shul. The inhu hava, they made it. So you could have a personal shul, you could have a group of people who made the shul, etc. And that gives them more flexibility to sell it. I brought you at the end, we're not going to go through them now. It's all in English. I brought you some English tshuvas. One was a fascinating tshuva of the Sridei Eish, who was asked about a shul in Oslo. sort of machlokas between the shuls in Oslo. Meaning, you know, I say these things as if it's straightforward. You just go to the town council and everybody agrees. The answer is, in reality, everybody fights and screams and falls out with each other, unfortunately. But in Oslo, they had this. They had a shul that was active and a shul that was very passive and falling apart and not really, people didn't go there. And they wanted to try and close that one down and bring everybody to the other shul. And of course, they said, we don't want to go. It's not our shul, etc. And the Shri Da'i says, no, it's fine. You can do that. The old shul is really not viable anymore. And they have a shul, which is easily big enough for everybody to go to. And then I brought you two summaries. Rav Kaganov, in his article, had these summaries, and I hope he won't mind if I just reproduce it here. I've attributed it to him. Where two shuvas of Rav Moshe, one where, again, there was a shul in an area that fell into a different crowd, was living there, and it was dangerous, and they wanted to pull everybody out and move them to another shul, and he said, it's fine. And there was another shuva on the very back page, of where they started building a shul. They built the Simcha Hall. And then they realized, this is not the right neighborhood for a shul. Are they allowed to just scrap it? Does it already have a status of a shul? And he says there, look, if you're not sure if you're going to have a shul there, maybe build it and call it a library to start with and see how it goes. And then if you want it to be a shul, you can upgrade it. A library is easier to knock down and sell than a shul. So, Lemaisa, it's quite possible to do that. I brought you at the very end, a medrash that we'll finish with, number 36. Tani Rabbi Eleza HaKapar Oimer, Asidim Bati Knesius Bati Midrash Asher B'Bavel Sheikvu Be'eretz Yisrael. All Yikavu Be'eretz Yisrael. All the shuls in Chutz La'aretz will eventually go to Eretz Yisrael. They'll like ambassadors. They'll go like on all the yeshivas, like Ponovich and Mir, and they'll all end up in Israel. He brings a posig there in Yirmiyahu. Just like these mountains came to Sinai to learn, and they went back, as it were, midrashically to Eretz Israel, so too Bati Knesis, Bati Midrashis, Shikorin, Mabaitim, Ben Torah, Al Achas Kama Vakama. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, all the shuls in Chutz La'aretz should be refilled with people to daven there and to learn there. But then they should all come to Israel and relocate to Israel, where they will be able to be rebuilt permanently, Be'ezrat Hashem. So I hope what we've done is taken quite a complicated halachic area and made it more straightforward and worked out how we actually do it. Next week, please God, Zecha Lemikdash and Zecha Lechorban, which are two different things, which are very lemaisa for 3 weeks, but we'll see that then. Okay? Thank you very much.